Let us continue to study the book of Ezekiel. Before we go into chapter 8, let's come back to chapter 3. Before God commanded Ezekiel to preach the warning, and God asked Ezekiel to swallow the scroll. And when he swallowed the scroll, he felt so sweet. So what does that mean? Before we convey the message to the people, we have to study the words of God, accumulate the words of God in our heart. So when we go out, try to give counsel to other people, we were able to use the words of God to help them. So right now you are preparing yourself to be a worker of God. So later on you can use the words of God to help other people. And before Ezekiel went to preach the warning to the Israelite. Verse 12, chapter 3, verse 12. And then the Spirit lifted up, and I heard behind me a great thunderous voice. Blessed is the glory of the Lord from his place. So Ezekiel was lifted up by the Spirit. He heard the voice to praising the glory of the Lord. And then, verse 15. Then I came to the captive of the Tereab. Who dwell by the river Chebar. And I sat there where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. So before Ezekiel started to preach a warning, right? The Spirit lifted up to the riverside, and he sat there for 7 days. Why he sat there for 7 days? So because he feels so sad, so sad about the situation of Israelite faith, so sad about the impending judgment of God, so sad about the Israelite refuse to repent and return to God. Do you know what's the difference between serving God and working in a company? When you're working in a company, it's only a job. You try to fulfill your duty. That's all. Sometimes your heart is detached from your work. You have no feeling about your work. You just finish your work, right? And then you can receive pay. But when we do the God's work, we need to have the heart of God. And that's the difference. If we do the church work without the heart of God, we are doing the church work without feeding. When we do the church work without feeding, which means God is not dwell in us. If God dwell in us, we do God's work, we definitely we have feeding. For example, we come here, if we see you pray so hard, we are so joyful. Right? And we come here to help the NYTS, if we feel that everybody has no heart to learn, then we feel so sad. So we have this kind of feeling because God's Spirit is moving us. So we have the same feeling with God's feeling. If I'm doing only a job, I don't care. I'm not give a lesson. After a lesson finished, my job is finished. If you want to listen, that's your business. If you don't want to listen, that's your business, right? It has nothing to do with me that I'm doing a job. Just like teaching in the school, I'm only doing a job without any feeling. So this is the most difficult part. When you do God's work, you can feel how God feels, either sad or joy. And that's what exactly Ezekiel felt. The Spirit lifted up and put him into the place where the rebellion Israelites dwell. And they feel very sad and sit there for 7 days. When Job was in great tribulation, three friends of Job intended to visit Job and comfort Job, right? And when they reached there, they was unable to speak. How many days? How many days? They feel so sad, they cannot speak anything for how many days? Can you read Job? How many days? 3 days or 7 days? Okay, 7 days, chapter 2, verse 13. 7 days, they was unable to speak any words. What? Why? Why? Because they are very good friends. When they saw Job, the original, was so well-respected, was so, lived so wonderful life. Right now, Job become totally different person. Out of love, they feel so sad, sit there for 7 days. Cannot speak anything. Originally, they try to come to help him, try to give him counsel, but too sad, they cannot say anything. All right, if these three friends are so-called a psychiatrist, right? They just don't care, right? I start to count the time and I give you counsel, right? And start to charge the money. So psychiatrists, they have no feeling. They have to detach the feeling from the patient. It's only a job, a profession only. But the three friends, their heart attached to job. But too sad is what? They don't have spiritual wisdom to understand God's will. So they give a wrong counsel. So Ezekiel chapter 3, before Ezekiel went to preach the warning, the Spirit of God lifted them up and to the place where the Israelites dwell, and he sit there for 7 days. Do you remember in the book of Nehemiah? Nehemiah was moved by God and went back to Jerusalem and tried to rebuild the temple, the wall, right? What did Nehemiah do? What did Nehemiah do? Look into Nehemiah chapter 1. What did Nehemiah do? Chapter 1, verse 4. Right? When Nehemiah heard that Jerusalem was destroyed, right, the wall was torn down, and Nehemiah was sat down and wept for a few days and fast and pray. Alright? All have the feeling inside before they take action. And this feeling is come from your love towards God, your love towards the members. So you become RE teacher or RE coordinator. It's very easy to be a job. You are only doing a job. I make some arrangement, finished. Right? If you are no good, that's your business. But if we are really trying to serve God and you take up the responsibility as an RE teacher, when you see a student rebellion, your heart is hurting. Because God is hurting. So God's heart in your heart, you are hurting. When you see the a youth right, in your class, all of a sudden changed, become very fervent. And your heart is so comforted, you are so joy. Why? Because God is very joyful. God is very comforted. And God's spirit move you. You have that kind of same feeling. So when you do the church work, the main point is not dealing with a matter. The main point is we are facing the chosen people of God, the people God loves. Because God loves the people, so God has a feeling to the people. If you love God, if the love of God fills upon your heart, you have the same feeling with the feeling of God, and then you are the good worker. So this is a very important point, but usually been forgotten. When we try to train some workers, we may give them some technical training. Oh, you have to do this, you have to do that. You've been an IE teacher. How many kind of teaching technique? Oh, that's good, but that's not the most important. The most important, you have the heart of Jesus Christ. You have the abidance of Jesus Christ. You have the feeling of Jesus Christ. You have the power of the Jesus Christ. So when you serve, you are represent Jesus Christ doing his work. And that's the most important one. And that's most often been neglected. So we are coming here not only learn some theology. I know a lot. Then I go back, I can deliver a sermon, I can give a lecture. If we do so without feeling, we are only a teacher. But more important is you need to have that kind of feeling. And that kind of feeling comes from your growth of your spirituality. So Ezekiel was sit there for 7 days. In chapter 3, let's come back to Ezekiel chapter 3. And verse 16 onwards, and chapter 3, just from verse 3 and verse 15, you can see the opposite feeling. Verse 3 is very sweet in the heart. And verse 7 is very sad, sitting for 7 days. Right? So serving God, sometimes the feeling is mixed. On the one hand, you are very joyful, right? When you pray, being filled by Holy Spirit, you are very joyful. You are walking in the street, you are singing the song, right? You are singing the song not because you get some iPad or iPhone, because the Spirit of God move you, fill upon your heart, right? While you are going to visit the members, all of a sudden you feel very sad. Why? Because the member only love the iPhone without loving God. And you feel very sad. So serving God, the feeling sometimes is mixed. When you are close to God, you are joyful. When you are close to the member who has a problem, you are very, very sad. That exactly happened in the same chapter. He swallows the scroll. He feels so sweet. And then he saw the people who rebelled against God. He feels so sad. So serving God is not only a formality. Serving God is an interaction between man and God. It's an interaction between the worker and the people God loves. So serving God is a living service. When we are working in a company, sometimes it's only a dead job, right? Every day do the same things. You have no feeling. You don't like it. But because you want to earn a living, you have no choice but to do it. Right? Same thing when you go to school. Sometimes you study, you just really don't want to go to school, but in order to get a job, you have to get a good education. Now, that's the reason. But when you come to NYTS, you swallow the words of God. The words of God move you. You feel so joyful. When you pray, right, you've been filled by the Holy Spirit, you feel so joyful. So you have feeling. You have feeling. So if you come to NYTS, you have no feeling, just like you go to school, something is missing. Something is missing. That means you are very far away from God. If you are very close to God, you are going to have feeling. Joy, peace, and happiness. Right? And sometimes you see the brother and sister who have not received Holy Spirit are after praying for a long time, you pray for the brother or sister, you have the feeling, and you feel very sad about them, and you pray hard for them, you even shed tears, you have feeling, because you are human being has love, and love, when you have love, you have feeling, when you have no feeling, are you a human being? Right? So, spiritually, we have feeling, spiritual feeling. The Holy Spirit come into our heart. Then we have spiritual feeling. When we don't have spiritual feeling, that means what? We are not filled by the Holy Spirit. So sometimes we've been sent to a church. The faith are not very, the church spirituality are very down. And the church is located in a very good location. A lot of people go there for sightseeing. Then you have mixed feeling, right? Physically, if you're comfortable, the weather is good. Mentally, if you're comfortable, the people treat you very good. But when you're filled by the Holy Spirit, spiritually, you feel very sad. Why? Sabbath morning, a lot of people come to service. Then right after the lunch, all of a sudden, everybody gone. Only single digit remain in the church. Right? If you are not filled by the Holy Spirit, you don't have feeling. Okay, everybody go for fun. Let me follow them to have fun. Right? But spiritually, when the Spirit moves you, you have feeling. You feel sad. That feeling is a feeling of God. So serving God, you must have feeling. If you have no feeling, something wrong. Because God is a living God. God has a feeling. If you have no feeling, means God is not in you. If God is in you, you have feeling. The same thing when you are pursuing God in here. You must have feeling. So this is chapter 3. And then chapter 3, verse 16 to 21. God set up Ezekiel to become the watchman. What is the duty of watchman? If anyone who is going to sin against God, he has to warn them. Just a watchman, just like what? Just like a lifeguard in the swimming pool, right? If the lifeguard keep on dozing and somebody drunk, I think this lifeguard has to put into prison. You are lifeguard, people are paying for you, right? How can you sleep there? When people go into the deeper water, you have to give them warning. Hey, that water has an undercurrent, be watchful. And if somebody already dying for 5 minutes, didn't get up, you have to go in to rescue the person. So this is the watchman. Watchman, you have to give the warning. If you give the warning, the people don't want to listen, continue to live in sin and die, you have no sin. Because you already give the warning. But if you do not give the warning, you want to give people feel good. Because warning always no good, right? So your parents give you a lot of warning, feel no good. So if you want people feel good, you don't give the warning and people die. And God is going to judge you. Now, so this is the duty of the watchman of Ezekiel, being entrusted by God. And then chapter 3, verse 22 to 27. 22 to 27, for one period of time, God closed the mouth of Ezekiel in 26, and Ezekiel was unable to speak. And for another period of time, God opened the mouth of Ezekiel, and Ezekiel was able to speak. So what does that mean? Which means, when you become the messenger of God, whenever God shut up your mouth, you should not speak. Whenever God open your mouth, then you have to speak. So whether you speak or don't speak, it's not upon you. It is upon God who in control of you. And this is also very, very difficult discipline. Very difficult discipline. So all the words of God are coming from God himself. God can open your mouth and God can shut out your mouth. Then how do you know when you have to speak? How do you know when you should not speak? When you are filled by the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit control you. So you know when to keep silent. And you know when you are going to speak. So this is called the worker of God. Or the worker of God. It's an instrument controlled by God. It's an instrument used by God. So worker become, have no self, selfless. Now, because he is only the instrument. And this is the most difficult part. So, in order to serve God, we need to go through a lot of discipline. We need to pursue the abidance of God so that we can be totally controlled by God. And then, the last time we talked about chapter 4. Right? The first parable is talking about the Jerusalem will be besieged. The second second is lie down for 390 days and another 40 days represent they are going to suffer. They have betrayed God for so many years. The third one, the bread baked by cow dung represent they are going to be captured to the foreign nation and to eat the unclean food. So this is a very difficult one. And chapter 5, he had to shave the hair and divide into three parts. Represent one third will be burned, will die because of sickness. Another third be killed. And another third, one third will be dispersed, scattering around to all over the world. And then we come to chapter 6. Chapter 6, adulterous heart and adulterous deeds, which means their heart was enticed by the idol, distracted by idol. So between them and God, there was a third party involved, and the third party is idol. So right now, what is your idol? Yes, materially, if idol is an image made by wood or metal, maybe we don't have the idol. But in our life, in reality, a lot of things really become idol. We alienate our relationship with God. Now, I went to Kenya in this May. The first feeling is, it's so easy to concentrate the mind, to pursue spirituality. Why? Because everything related to electricity, you cannot use that. Can you imagine no electricity? You have nothing. No iPad, iPhone, no cellular phone, no TV, nothing. When you have nothing, it means you have no distraction. There is no shopping mall, and there is no advertisement. You have money, but the only money you can only buy is what? A lot of fruit. How much can you eat? Right. One US dollar, you can buy about 7 to 8 coconut. Right. How much can you drink? One year we went to Nigeria. That was 80s. One US dollar can buy 100 oranges. So how many oranges can you eat? Right. After you eat few, then you are full. So it's so easy to be fulfilled. So nowadays, we compare with Africa. Nowadays, our life is so complicated. We have too many things, but we still continue shopping. We still continue buying something. Why? It's not because we need something. It's because our heart is empty. So when you have something new in your hand, you feel excited, right? But after a few days, that's gone. And you are thinking about buying another new things. So right now, idol, what is idol? Idol, I think nowadays, is material. Something material. We alienate our relationship with God. This is very difficult nowadays. So chapter 6, talk about they have adulterous heart and adulterous deeds. And chapter 7, it talk about the end has come. So God has wrath upon them. And because God's wrath, from verse 14 to 19, they all have a hardship. They are going to suffer. At that time, during the time of suffering, the silver and gold cannot save them. The silver and gold become a stumbling block. The silver and gold cannot fulfill their heart. Those are this 14 to 19. And from verse 20 to 27, because the holy temple was defiled, because of idol, so God is going to allow the foreign nation to defile the temple, and they will be captured to the foreign nation. And 23 to 27, because the whole land was filled with violence, so God will allow the most wicked people in the world to come and occupy it at their house. In verse 24, and verse 27, God is going to retribute them according to their deeds. So until chapter 7, you are going to see whatever we have done, God will hold us accountable. So definitely, whatever life we live, there will have consequence. And the consequence will come from God. Okay, now we go into chapter 8. Chapter 8 to chapter 12. The secularization of the holy temple and the captivity of the chosen people. The holy temple become worldly, being conformed by the world. You remember in the Roman chapter 12, right? Verse 2 or verse 3, there's an important words. Right? Do not be conformed, but be transformed. Conform and transform cannot coexist. If we are transformed by God, we will not be conformed. If we are conformed, we are not being transformed. So in chapter 8, you see that the Israelite was not transformed, even though the Holy Temple was built among them. They were not transformed. But instead, they were conformed by the world. So the Holy Temple become secularized, become worldly. And that Holy Temple today represents the church. When you visit Europe, I think some of you have visited Europe. When you visit Europe, you are going to see a lot of castle, right? New castle, right? On top of the mountain. And another thing is, you are going to see a lot of what? Cathedral, older chapel. When you visit Europe, the most two attraction is castle and the cathedral. Because right now is a democratic era, so there's no king. So castle, nobody live there, only mosquito. Alright? And how about the cathedral, older chapel? God is still the living God. How come the chapel has no people? Why? Because Christianity already become secularized, being conformed by the world. So God was not in the church. When God was not in the church cannot attract people anymore. No matter what kind of program you design, you will never make the church attract people so much like a Disneyland. Can you do that? You cannot. Do you know this chapel? Before we purchased this chapel was used to play the bingo. This one. This one, Pacifica Church. Because they lose a membership, so they financially they were unable to sustain the church. So they opened the door and to become a place to play the gamble. But eventually still, the church had for sale, and we buy it with a very reasonable discount price. So today, the reason you are here, not because we have so many interesting or have a lot of fun, a lot of program, no. You pray a lot, right? The reason we are here is because God is here. God is here so we can be attracted by God himself. So the tragic thing happened in the time of Ezekiel is the temple becomes secularized. The holy temple are supposed to be the symbol of God's abidance. The holy temple are supposed to serve a very important tool to lift up people's spirituality. The holy temple are supposed to the only one pure place in the world. However, the holy temple become conformed with the world. That the beginning of their suffering. So, chapter 8, from verse 1 to verse 10. Especially from verse 1 to verse 6. Okay, chapter 8. Let's see, Ezekiel chapter 8. And it came to pass in the sixth year, in the sixth month, on the fifth day of the month, I was set by my house with the elders of the Judah sitting before me, that the hand of the Lord fell upon me there. Verse 2. Then I looked, and there was a likeness, like the appearance of fire. So the hand of the Lord touched upon Ezekiel, and then Ezekiel saw the vision. And the first one, he saw the glory of God. And then, verse 3, right? The Spirit lifted up to the heaven, right? And during the vision, he was brought to Jerusalem, and he saw the idol in the temple of God. And verse 4. And behold, the glory of God of Israel was there, like the vision that I saw in the plain. So on the one hand, Ezekiel saw the glory of God and had a very wonderful vision. But on the other hand, Ezekiel saw in the temple there was an idol. How come Ezekiel was able to saw this, to see this? Because the Spirit, the hand of God, touched him, because the Spirit fell upon him. So what does that mean? Today, we see a lot of things because you have physical eye, right? Sometimes your eyesight no good, they put on the eyeglass, right? A glass, then you can see better, right? But no matter how you adjust your eyesight, right? You only see the material world. You only see from human perspective. How can you see the spiritual world? How can you see things from the spiritual perspective? You need to be lifted up by the Spirit of God. You need to be touched by the hand of God. Then you are going to see things from the spiritual perspective, from the spiritual eyesight. And from you see the thing from spiritual perspective and spiritual eyesight, and the conclusion is quite different from you see things from your physical eye. You see the physical eye is on the outer, see people's outer appearance. But when you see from the spiritual perspective, you see through into people's heart, into people's spirituality. So what does the spiritual wisdom means? Spiritual wisdom means you can see things from the spiritual perspective, from the eyesight of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what Ezekiel had. So when it comes to the church, Pacific Car Church, Mountain Church, Garden Grove Church, whatsoever church, did you see idol? I don't think in TJC Chapel there is an idol. Right? But if you go to Catholic Church, a lot of idol. Oh, so one of the true seekers come to our church, and she want to touch the pulpit, she want to kneel down and kiss, or whatsoever you want to do it. Oh, we don't have idol. But the true seeker has a background of Catholic Church. Oh. Not because we see from the physical eye, we don't have an idol. But don't you think the church has an idol? Then we need to have a spiritual eyesight. We look at things from spiritual perspective. Then we are going to see whether the church has idol or not. Oh. So it's so important. We need to be filled by the Spirit of God to see a lot of things from the spiritual perspective. Only when we can see things from the spiritual perspective, we were able to cleanse ourselves. We are able to lift up ourselves. We are able to transform ourselves. If we only see the things from our physical eye, well, everybody, no problem, right? Everybody looks good, no problem. If no problem means we don't have to be, we don't have to improve ourselves because we have no problem. But if you see from spiritual perspective, you are going to see, oh, how good it is to be higher spiritually. Because if you are higher, you are closer to God. If you are higher, you are able to see further. Like Moses climbed up on top of the Nebo. He was able to see the whole Canaan. How good it is. Only when you have spiritual eyesight. When you have spiritual eyesight, you are not satisfied with what you are now. You want to be higher. You want to be more spiritual. Because higher and more spiritual is better. It's closer to God. So we need to have the kind of spiritual eyesight. So chapter 8. Ezekiel had spiritual eyesight. And he saw four different kind of bad things in the temple of God. The first one is idol, right? In chapter 8, verse 3. In the temple, within the court of the temple, there was an idol. How terrible it is, right? Oh. And at the same time, there was a glory of God. And then, verse 5 to 6, when he looked to the north side, beside verse 5, chapter 8, verse 5. Son of man, lift up your eye now towards the north. So lift up my eyes towards the north, and there, north of the outer gate, was this image of jealousy in the entrance. And then chapter 7 onwards, so he brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, there was a hole in the wall. Verse 8. Then he said to me, son of man, dig into the wall. And when I dug into the wall, and there was a door, and he said to me, go in and see the wicked abominations which they were doing there. So I went in and saw there was every sort of creeping things, abominable beast, and all the idol of the house of the Israelite. Originally, there was only a small hole in the wall, right? God said, dig it, become bigger hole. When it become bigger hole, go in. And when he go in, he saw a lot of bad things. So what does that mean? Outwardly, you see everyone is good, right? You dress handsomely, right? You behave very gently, right? You talk religiously, right? But you have to dig into your heart to see what is in your heart. When you dig into your heart, something is not good in there. So we have to go deeper inside our heart and to see what's wrong with us. So they saw there's a lot of bad things there. And because of a lot of bad things, why they do a lot of bad things? Verse 12, chapter 8, verse 12. And then he said to me, "Son of man, have you seen what the elder of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the room of his idol. For they say, the Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land." The reason they do a lot of bad things because they thought God did not see them. God did not know. So that's the reason they do it. Let's pray in silence.